You know, the Feast of the Holy Family occurs in a little bit of a different sequence in the Tridentine Mass, the extraordinary form of the liturgy, and it really occurs in an order that makes a little more sense. In the Novus Ordo Masses, the feast occurs between Christmas and Epiphany, and it's very troubling because first Jesus is an infant, and then a few days later he's 12, and then he's back to being an infant again in Epiphany. And well, anyway, so the sequence actually follows a little more reasonably here. We have the Feast of Christmas. The octave of Christmas is celebrated with the feast of the circumcision of the Lord, and then we have the Feast of Epiphany, and then the Feast of the Holy Family, where we find Jesus a bit older. Now, today, on this Feast of the Holy Family, I thought that I might just give a few thoughts to put before you in terms of our families today, and some of the structural problems that we're beginning to face in our society, in our nation. You know, it's remarkable when we begin to look at, well, let me put it to you this way. Somebody gave me some good news recently. They said that the divorce rate is down. And I said, well, that sounds good. But on the other hand, when you look more closely, you discover that the marriage rate is even further down. So in other words, the divorce rate is down because fewer people are ever getting married in the first place. And you know, today, even as we pray a lot for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life, I've taken as a priest to praying increasingly for couples to get married and to have families. I'm finding it more and more alarming. You know, I've been a priest now for a little over 18, close to 19 years. When I was first ordained, there were lots of marriages that I had to celebrate. It was a very routine thing, especially in the summer months, to have a wedding every single weekend during the summer. And now it's increasingly rare. I can go for months, even through the summer, and last year in my parish I had two weddings. And in my current parish, where I've just been transferred, I have three weddings scheduled for the entire year. And let me give you another statistic. In the year 1974, there were approximately 400,000 marriages that took place in the Catholic Church in the United States of America. Almost 400,000. Two years ago, there were a little under 200,000 weddings. So you see that even as the number of Catholics has grown over those 20-some years, 30-some years, you begin to see that the marriages have been cut in half. We have half the number of weddings today than we did in 1974. That's a pretty shocking statistic, because you see, the family is really at the heart of our society and is also at the heart of the church. And if our families aren't strong, our church will not be strong. And if our church is not strong, our nation will not be strong. So again, at the heart of both nation and church is the family. And we need to really pray, because families are easily being torn apart today by the obvious things: divorce, all kinds of sexual confusion. I'll get to that in a minute. But also by the fact that many young people are choosing not to marry, and some never to marry. There's a lot of children being born out of wedlock today. There's all kinds of, as I say, problems and confusion. And I've taken to praying that young people will hear the call to marriage and family. Yes, also to the priesthood and the religious life. But if our families aren't strong, we're not going to have vocations anyway. And also, the family is linked to evangelization. If we want our church to grow, our families have to grow. Now, people kind of laugh at me when I say this, but I'm going to give you my evangelization plan for the Catholic Church in America. Are you ready? Everybody, all young people, get married. Be careful who you marry now, first of all. But get married, stay married, and have lots of babies, and raise them Catholic. You see, again, a lot of people kind of laugh at me when I say that, but the heart of the church's growth really is within our families. Now, the Muslim people, the know that very well. They have large families. They're beginning to dominate Europe and so on again. Meanwhile, Catholic families have one, two, sometimes no children. In many parts of Europe, they're beginning to beg to give all kinds of government incentives to their families to have children. It's becoming very, very grave in Europe. Now, in America, we're blessed with a good number of immigrants, most of them Christians, and our church in that sense is growing, but our family sizes are diminishing and becoming very small. Notice the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. He did not simply say, be fruitful and replace yourself. That suggests, therefore, that we ought to love and prize large families. That ought to be something that we look for and celebrate. And yet today, some people look askance if someone has more than two kids. Oh. My brother and sister-in-law have five children. The other brother and sister-in-law have three. But again, some of their friends, especially the family with five kids, they say, ooh, what's wrong? Don't they know there's a way to get around this? People look strangely. Now, I'm only 46 years old, and I remember a time when it was common for families to have four and five and six kids. It was pretty common. Today it's very uncommon. So I'm asking all of us to begin to pray about family life. Because if our families aren't growing and flourishing, the church will not. Right now in my parish, I'm not a pastor of this parish, as you know, I have another parish. The school is closing next year. It's being actually turned into a charter school. And we've had to really look all throughout the archdiocese. We're in serious trouble right now because the number of Catholic children is dropping quickly. We expect in the next 5 years to lose 5,000 children from our Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Washington. People are not having children. We are aborting and contracepting ourselves out of existence. We've got to begin to pray. And I know, young people especially, it takes a lot of courage to have children. It's a lot of work. I know that. I don't know it from having raised children myself, but I had a younger brother. I saw him be raised up. I know the sacrifices that are involved. But again, human life is sacred. It is precious. Our families need to grow. We need to become more generous in our acceptance of life in our families. Again, we're going to start seeing churches, parishes, we're going to start seeing schools closing. It's going to be happening because our Catholic Church increasingly is shrinking in size. People aren't attending Mass in the first place, but also our families are getting smaller and smaller. It's from the larger families that we get vocations. And it's an important thing for us to really pray about. So I've tried to, if you will, put before you the urgency of the question of family today. There's a lot of things to consider. But pray. Pray for young couples to hear the call to marriage, to be careful who they marry, but to marry, to have lots of children, to begin to bless the church with children in our nation, to raise up their children properly in the fear of the Lord. Pray. Now, a few other thoughts about family life that come to us from the life of the Holy Family and from this feast. One of the problems today that I think happens to a lot of people, a lot of young people, is that the career tends to eclipse the vocation. Career life has lots of rewards. Money, power, prestige. Family life isn't always so prestigious. And very often, young people, both men and women, allow their career to eclipse their vocation. And their vocation is to be a husband or a father and or a wife and a mother. That's the vocation. That's what's most important. The career is secondary. Now, I'm mindful of a story of St. Joseph. That one day, Joseph heard that, in a dream, that Herod was seeking to kill the child, Jesus. And that Joseph should immediately take his wife and child and go to Egypt. Now, Joseph, if he was thinking like a modern person, might have thought, wait a minute, I've got a Rolodex full of business contacts. I'm well known in the community. I'm a tradesman. My career is on the line. I'm not going to get the kind of income I need. I'm not going to... what about my career? See? But Joseph, you see, the very moment, got up in the middle of the night and began to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt. He did not think twice. His vocation was more important than his career. Too many men and women today allow their career to become the primary thing in their life. And they forget that if they're married, they have a vocation which is more important than the career. It might not mean that you get quite as much money. That's true. But money is only money. It's only money. But sometimes we allow money to become the main focus. And we even tell ourselves sweet little lies. I'll have more things to give my children. I'll be able to give them this. I'll be able to give them that. What they need, what they want, is you. So again, the career must not eclipse the vocation. And today, very often, family life is threatened by a set of what I would call misplaced priorities. Again, pray. Pray for young people, pray for the family. Because again, the world is very intoxicating. The world is very alluring. Career, money, power. But family life is what's most important. I'd rather see a family have less money and really have that house be a house of love with their children knowing that they were raised up by their parents. I'd rather see that than the house with the cathedral ceilings and all this plasma screen TVs and all the other little gizmos and gadgets that we can get today. There's more to life than these things. Now, another thing about family life is the issue of subjection. You notice in this gospel today, Jesus went down to Nazareth and was subject to them. Now, today, this notion of being subjected or being subject to someone or subordinate is very unpopular. And again, our families are often struggling with power struggles. The wife doesn't want to be subject to the husband. The children don't want to be subject to their parents. The husband doesn't want to be subject to God. But the way God has set it up is that the husband should be subject to God. Fully subject to Christ. The wife to her husband. The children to their parents. But too often today, this is all brushed aside. And what we find in our families are endless power struggles. And children who watch television are affirmed in this. Parents are made to look stupid on the sitcoms on TV. We have all kinds of problems with children being constantly presented that they should just speak their mind and be bold and forget that they're children and that their parents are adults. We have all kinds of things that the culture does to affirm children in not being subordinate to their parents. We've also seen again how, with all the struggles between men and women in this age of feminism and so on, again, this problem of wives being subject to their husbands is very, very, just is simply dismissed as a silly thing from the past. And yet there it is in the Bible, that wives are to be subject to their husbands. But notice, husbands, be careful. A husband is to love his wife like Christ loves his bride, the church. This is not Archie Bunker, Edith, get me a beer, come in, Archie, you know. It's not that. That is not what Scripture has in mind. That is not what Paul had in mind. What is being taught is a man is under God's authority. He follows the commandments. He lives a life of servant leadership. He takes a towel and washes his wife's feet and his children's feet. He serves them like Jesus took a towel and washed our feet. Like Jesus mounted a cross and died for us. That's the kind of husband that a husband should be. And based on that too, then a wife should be subject to that. You see, the whole vision But again, today, because everybody just throws us away, we end up with nothing but power struggles in our families. A final thing I want to just talk about, and I know I've gone long, I always go long, but there I go again, just bear with me, that all of us have to accept the fact that our families won't work unless we work at our families. We've really got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision to be better communicators, to spend more time with our family, to overcome strife, to be more forgiving. We've got to decide to do that. It doesn't just happen. The devil wants to divide every one of you and your families. He wants all this division everywhere. And if you and I are not determined to work at building up family virtues, to really work, picking up the phone, staying in touch, spending that time, coming home early, sitting down at the dinner table, really working, learning to be mutually forgiving and loving. If we're not willing to do that, our families will not be strong. We've simply got to decide to do it. Now, this beautiful reading from Colossians, I just want to read part of it again and then I'm done. Because it talks about these beautiful virtues that we should intentionally decide to begin to follow. That we are to put on as God's chosen ones a heart full of mercy, to decide to be merciful, kind, humble, meek, and patient. To decide to bear with one another. To decide to forgive one another. To above all things have deep love for our family members. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We got to get on our knees and beg God for that. You know, every time I go to a new parish, I always say the same thing to God. I get on my knees and I say, Lord, give me the grace to really love these people you've sent me to serve. And God never fails. I love my people. But again, if you're struggling to love your family members, it's not always easy to love our family members. Get on your knees and say, Lord, work a miracle. I don't know how I can forgive. I don't know how I can love. I've been hurt. I'm angry. I don't know how to get rid of it. But get on your knees and just say, Lord, work a miracle. Work a miracle. Help me to really love my spouse. Help me to really love my children. And so on. I could go on and read the rest of the reading, but you see the point. We have got to decide that this is where God wants me to live out my gospel values in my family. We've got to decide. The family today has a lot of trouble. The devil's been working hard. You and I just have to recommit ourselves. We've got to be sober and realize there are many attacks today on the family. There is sexual confusion. There's all kinds of confusion about power dynamics. There's endless confusion which is attacking the family. But brothers and sisters, we've got to get on our own job. We've got to get back to asking God to bless us in our families. Don't wait for someone else's family to be strong. Your family. My family needs to be strong. But you say, but Monsignor, there's some nuts falling out of my family tree. That's all right. Every family tree has this problem. God has put you with your family because that's where He wants you. That's where He wants me to grow in holiness. Not with someone else's family, my family. Amen.